أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على الأفضل الموجودات، العبد المؤيد، الرسول المسدد، المصطفى الأمجد والمحمود الأحمد، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا، صاحب الوقار والسكينة، المدفون بأرض المدينة، أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، واللعنة الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين من الأولين والآخرين. آمين يا رب العالمين. فقد قال سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم وهو أصدق القائلين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة، صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجه. As tomorrow is the last night of my lectures, inshallah, I want to wind up and wrap up the subject or the topic that I began on my first night here, the divine caliphates of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. And the ayat that I used continuously is the ayat which you have heard in every khutbah, in Nija'ilun fil ard khalifa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He made the first khalifa, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Oh angels," because at that time there was no human beings, there was only angels. So he says, "Oh angels, I have made a khalifa fil ard." And what's interesting is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I have made a khalifa in the land," at a time when Adam was not in the land. This was when Adam was still in the heavens. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined from before that though he's not on the land yet, he's in the heavens, but he will be my khalifa on the land. So it is something, the khalifa is chosen before he's sent. The khalifa is chosen before he's sent. Whether it's Adam, or inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard, or Dawood, whether it's Dawood, or whether it's Ali ibn Abi Talib. Khulafa are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they are sent into this dunya. But I want to take this a step forward tonight, and inshallah end tomorrow. What's interesting is that was it not for a khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala present today, the earth wouldn't survive. Sunni Shia ulama have written this hadith. Now whether everyone believes it or not, that's another matter. Lawla hujja lasakhatil ard bi ahliha. Was it not for the hujjat of Allah on this dunya, the earth wouldn't survive. Because the Imam of the time, or the 12th Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to stay connected with the topic, is the Qutb Alam Imkan. The Imam alayhi salatu wasalam is what? He is the pivotal central point of all of existence. All of existence, anything which is, as they say, ziruh, anything which has a soul, anything which is existing, has life, is alive because of the 12th Imam alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is a deep philosophical discussion. I don't want to go off topic, but I want to stay connected with where I want to take you tonight. The 12th Caliph of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alive and is amongst us. And he's the 12th Imam. The earth cannot be without the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Cannot be without the Imam, you can say. Cannot be without Hujja, you can say. Cannot be without Ma'soom, as you can say. So, Khulafa at 12. Sunni and Shia agree Khulafa at 12. Bukhari, Sahihul Bukhari. What does Imam Bukhari say in Sahihul Bukhari? Sahihul Bukhari, as I mentioned, the most authentic books for the Sunni brothers. Book number one, in the Siha Sitta, in the six books. Bukhari, even though Bukhari narrates the least narrations from Ahlul Bayt, and that says a lot about him, he takes the least narrations from Amirul Mu'mineen, and perhaps no narrations he takes from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. None, zero, from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Anyhow, he has a tradition in Bukhari. Imam Bukhari has written in Sahih al-Bukhari that the dunya will not come to an end until 12 leaders will rule this world. He says the word ithna ashara amira, 12 amirs, 12 commanders. Some of the historians have said 12 khulafa, khalifa. Some have said 12 amir. Some have said 12 rajulan, rijal, rajul, men. So whether the word rajul is used, men, whether the word khalifa is used, the caliph, or whether the word amir is used, the commander, words are different, but they all agree it's 12. There's no dispute on 12. What's interesting is that there is no dispute even amongst the Sunni school of thought, the Sunni mazhab. There's no dispute. You know what the dispute is on? Who are the 12? That's what the dispute is on. Even amongst the our Sunni brothers, amongst them the historians were divided. Who are the 12? They make a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, and then some said Muawiyah, some even said Yazid, and then from there. But then another people, another group of the historians of our Sunni brothers, they came, no, you got to take Yazid out of it. So they made another list without Yazid. So one list is with Yazid, the other list is with Yazid. So there are many lists where they've tried hard to fit 12 people in this framework. But there's only one school of thought in which there is no ikhtilaf who the 12 are, and that is the Shia madhab, the Shia school of thought. So I've given you Bukhari, now let me give you Tafsir Burhan, our own Shia tafsir by a Shia alim marhum Sayyid Hashim al-Bahrani, rahmatullahi alayh. An excellent tafsir. Tafsir Burhan, Tafsir Riwayi. It is a tafsir in which every ayah of the Holy Quran has been explained with the riwayah. You see, you have a tafsir, many different types, Tafsir Riwayi, which is tafsir where, which is a tafsir in which the ayat are explained by traditions, the narrations of Ahlul Bayt, the hadith of Ahlul Bayt. What have Ahlul Bayt said about Suratul Fatiha? They'll put it in there. What have Ahlul Bayt said about the ayat of Suratul Baqarah? They'll find them and they'll put it in and they will compile a tafsir. This is Tafsir Burhan. When Sayyid Hashim al-Bahrani discusses, and before I go into that, the ayat, Bukhari says 12, let me give you some ayat. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمْ 12 نَقِيبَةً Surah Maida, ayat number 12. 5 and 12. You can't forget these numbers. 5, Surah number 5. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? وَلَقَدْ And when, and surely we took a covenant, mithaq, from Bani Israel. And we raised from amongst them 12 leaders. 12 نَقِيبَةً Bani Israel had 12 Nuqaba'i Bani Israel, Nuqaba, they had 12 leaders. Bani Israel had 12 leaders. The sixth Imam, Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. He says that Hazrat Isa, Jesus, Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, Isa ibn Maryam had 12 Hawariyun, he had 12 vicegerents. The first one being Shamun ibn Hammun. After him, until the Prophet, from the time of the Prophet Isa until the time of the Prophet Muhammad, there were 12 vicegerents. And some historians believe that the last one was Salman al-Farisi. Sheikh Saduq has written that. Anyhow, there were 12 Nuqaba Bani Israel. There were 12 vicegerents of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and there were 12 of Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So now the number 12 is established. The number 12 is very important in the Holy Quran. Repeat it again and again. Inna iddat al-shuhur inda Allahi How many months are there in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isna ashara shahra, the Quran says. In the sight of Allah, there are 12 months. And the ta'wilat tell us, the hadith tell us each month represents an imam. Ta'wil. Ta'wil is different to tafsir. What is tafsir? Tafsir is either the mufassir, the scholar, when he writes the tafsir of the Holy Quran, what he understands of the ayat and what he knows from his knowledge, he writes his understanding of this ayat. He may take a hadith to support it. He may take other ayat to support it. For example, Allama Tabatabai in Tafsir al-Mizan. Tafsir al-Mizan is not Tafsir al-Riwai. As in, he doesn't take traditions to explain a hadith. Tafsir al-Mizan is Tafsir al-Quran bil-Quran. He takes Quran to explain Quran. He takes ayat to explain other ayat. Now, ta'wil is something else. Tafsir is the understanding of the mufassir. The alim, he writes what he understands. Ta'wil is what Ahlul Bayt have said about it. And this is why tafsir is not the haqiqi ma'na of the Holy Quran. Ta'wil is the haqiqi ma'na of the Holy Quran. Quran-e-Majid ka jo haqiqi ma'na hai. Asl Quran. Quran kya keh raha hai? Ye ta'wilat se malum hoga. Aur Quran ne kaha, ta'wil koi nahi janta. Illa Allah wa rasikhuna fil ilm. Sivai khuda ke, aur wo rasikhuna fil ilm. Rasikhuna fil ilm kaun hai? Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So now, 12 in Bukhari, 12 in Muslim, 12 in the Nuqaba of Bani Israel, 12 in the vicegerents of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, and 12 in the Ummah of the Prophet. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, the great companion of the Holy Prophet, the first Zair of Imam Hussein, Arba'in in Karbala, the first Zair of Imam Hussein is Jabir. He comes to the Messenger of Allah and he says, Ya Rasulullah, 12 khulafa, you mentioned 12 khulafa, or you mentioned 12 men or 12 commanders, who are they? The tradition is from Jabir. Rasulullah names each and every one of them. He says, O Jabir, awwaluhum Ali wa akhiruhum Mahdi. The first is Ali ibn Abi Talib and the last is Mahdi. Imam al-Hujja ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. And then the tradition states, in Tafsir Burhan, he names each and every one of them. The first of mine is Ali, the second of mine is Hassan, the third of mine is Hussein, the third is Zainul, the fourth is Zainul Abidin, Imam Muhammad Baqir, Imam Jafar Sadiq, ila, Imam Zaman. Each and every name. This is the only time you find a list in which there is no contradiction. Otherwise, they've tried hard to match them. Number 12, for those who are into Ilmul Adad, the science of numerology, when you look at numbers. Each number has a numerical value in Ilmul Adad. But what's interesting is, the most basic kalima within the religion of Islam, the first testimony of Islam, Rasulullah said what? When he stood on the mount, when he first began his tabligh, he says, قُولُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِهُ. Say, La ilaha illallah, and you shall succeed. La ilaha illallah is the foundation of Islam. You know how many huruf there are? 12. Inshallah, when you go home, you write them and you count them. La ilaha illallah has 12 huruf, 12 letters in the Arabic language. Lam, alif, you count them. Not only la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah has 12 letters in it. In other words, there is no Allah in Muhammad without the 12. You want to get to Allah in Muhammad, you come through the 12. Look at this secret. Look where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the 12. Again and again. 12 months. 12 months. Nuqaba Bani Israel, 12. The vicegerents of Isa, 12. The Khulafa of the Prophet, 12. La ilaha illallah, 12. Muhammad Rasulullah, 12. In other words, you cannot escape from the 12. One cannot escape from the value that these 12 have. There is no one who has been given as much value as the 12 Imams. And this is why we proudly say, we are Shia, Imamiyya, Ithna Ashariyya. 12, we're 12ers, Ithna Ashariyya. Why? Because our 12 Imams. Recite Salawat, please. Allahumma salli. So these are the, when you dig deep into the subject of Khilafah, and your Khilafah is a subject, like I said on the first night, is something that will never get old. It is something that will remain sensitive until the day of judgment. But you know what's important is we cannot back down or shy away from our beliefs. For too long, people have questioned us. Where does this 12 come from? Where are you getting these 12 Imams from? Or are you the believer of 12 Imams? Are you the one who believes in the prophethood of Ali and not Rasulullah? How many times have you heard that? Are you the one who hits himself? Are you the one who abuses the companions? Are you the one who has a different Quran? How many times have you heard these questions? And how many times have we explained ourselves? Number one, you don't need to explain yourselves to anyone. And number two, perhaps it's time that we ask the questions. For way too long, we've been in defense. No, let me explain myself. No, I don't hit myself. No, I don't take Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib as the prophet. No, let me explain to you what the 12 Imams are. How about you explain yourself to me? I mean, who made you the policeman in Islam? We live, alhamdulillah, in a time, 21st century, we live in a time of science and technology that now that propaganda cannot exist anymore. You know, there was a time, even now they say this in Pakistan actually, don't eat from the niyaz of the Shia. You know why? Because they kill someone and put blood in it. And then they feed you some, they put magic into it and they feed you. Don't go to their majalis, they brainwash. But now the majalis are on YouTube, these lectures on YouTube. No, they only tell from their own Quran. They have their own Quran. We read Quran on YouTube. We read du'as on YouTube. I'm quoting Sahih al-Bukhari. It's come to a time that we have the right to ask questions. Who gave only you the right to ask questions? By God, fellow mu'mineen and mu'minat, dear brothers and sisters, you have 12 such imams. The dunya does not even have one such imam. And I guarantee you, look through the history. Did Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq ever go and learn from anyone? Or did they go and learn from him? You will not find a single Imam anywhere in the world, in any school of thought. But Allah has given you 12. And this is why Khilafa is important. The Caliph must be one, the one who sits on the member of the Prophet, must be like the Prophet, must be able to answer questions like the Prophet, must have the ilm of the Prophet, must have the shuja'ah of the Prophet, must have the honor and the dignity of the Prophet. He must be someone who the Quran calls nafs al-rasul. He must be the nafs of the Prophet if he's to take the place of the Holy Prophet. Marhum Ayatollah Sayyid Abdul Karim Kashmiri, one of the Urafa of Najaf, hear this about your 12th Imam, the 12th Khalifa of Allah. Marhum Ayatollah Sayyid Abdul Karim Kashmiri, one of the Urafa, one of the mystics of Najaf, once with a delegation, he went to India. And while he was out there, many scholars went to India because of the hub of knowledge, Lucknow. Today, the most historical documents and manuscripts are in India, more than Iran and Iraq put together. The vast majority of historical manuscripts and documents are in India today. And so Allama al-Amini, before writing Al-Ghadir, he visited Lucknow as well, India. He went to India, they said, look, there's a man in India, not a Muslim, but he has this, he has this strange knowledge, he has this strange ilm. If you tell him a name of a person with his mother's name, he'll tell you if that person is alive or dead. Anywhere in the world. If he's alive, he'll tell you where it is, where he is, which country, which city. And if he's dead, he'll tell you where he's buried, which graveyard. Inshallah, you're with me. Silence means you're focusing or you're sleeping? Focusing, okay, good. Recite salawat. So they bring him. They say, we want you to meet him. So now a delegation of scholars, ulama, in the meeting. So they say, okay, you know what, it's a good chance. Let us ask him some questions. Let's test him. So they give him a name. So-and-so, mother's name, so-and-so. And, you know, he had whatever knowledge he had, magic, whatever. I don't know what it is. I've not researched into that. But I've read this in some Persian texts. So they say they asked him some questions, and he was right. He says, this person, he's buried, he's dead, he's buried in so-and-so, Isfahan or wherever. He's buried in Najaf. He's buried in India. He's buried wherever. Some people, they were alive, they asked him, yeah, he's alive. He lives in Basra. He lives in Kufa. So each and every time, they would ask him about someone they knew, and he got it right. So one of the ulama, Ayatollah Abdul Karim Kashmiri, he says, you know, this is a good time. Let us ask him about the 12th Imam. We got everything else right. Let's ask him about the 12th Imam. Let's test him. So they came forward, they said, okay, tell us about a man whose name is Mehdi ibn Fatima. They give him the name. And he sits quietly. And he looks down and he thinks, you know, whatever he used to do, he used to think. And then he looks up and he says to them, there's no such man. So he got everything else right, but he said, there's no such man. So now they're looking at each other. They said, what? They said, no, something's not right. It's not possible that the 12th Imam doesn't exist. He can be wrong, but that's not wrong. So they said, no, maybe we're doing something wrong. So they thought about it and said, no, we did something wrong. We said, Mehdi ibn Fatima. He's from the nasl of Fatima, but that's not his mother. It's his grandmother. And Hazrat Imam Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Mehdi is his title. So let's change it. So they said, okay, his name is the same name as the Prophet, Mim He, Mim Dal. It's discouraged to say the Imam's name. So he said, the name is this, the same as the Prophet. And the mother is Bibi Narjis Khatun. He said, try again. Now when he takes the name, he starts to think and he starts to ponder on it. He says, within a few minutes, he begins to tremble and shake. And he gets up. And he looks at them, he says, who is this? He says, why, what happened? He says, by God, everywhere I look, he's everywhere. SubhanAllah. He's everywhere. I looked in the east, he was there. I looked in the west, he was there. There is not a place that he is not in. Now you know what it means, that the ma'soom is the pivotal point of all of creation. The markaz of wujud is the 12th khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says it's everywhere. This is the 12th imam. Ali awwalhum Ali, akhiruhum Mehdi. When the Quran describes khilafah, the verses that I've quoted so far, it says two main things. If you conclude tonight and tomorrow, what do you conclude? Number one, Khalifa must have all of knowledge. وَعَلَّمَ الْآدَمَ الْأَسْمَى كُلُّهَا. We gave Adam all of knowledge. So Khalifa must have all of knowledge. Number one. Who is the other Khalifa in the Holy Quran? يَا دَاوُدْ إِنَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ خَلِيفَةً فِي الْأَرْضِ. Oh, Dawood, we made you Khalifa. You know what Dawood's miracles were? Allah gave him two main miracles. Number one, Mantiq al-Tayr, the Quran says. Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam would speak to the birds. In fact, the Quran says in Surah Saba, when Dawood would recite the Zubur, when he would recite the Hamd of Allah, Allah would order the birds recite with Dawood alayhi salam. Number two, Alanna lahu al-Hadid. Dawood was so powerful, he would melt metal. The Quran, it's in the Quran. Dawood would speak with the birds. Dawood would melt metal. It was one of his mu'jizat. It was one of his miracles. So if you put them together, if you put this together now, conclude with the Holy Quran. Adam Khalifa had all of knowledge. Dawood, Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would speak with the birds and would melt, had immense power, that he would take metal, an iron rod, he would turn it. He would squeeze metal, he would melt it. So Khalifa must have ilm and must have power. Now if you want to see who the Khalifa is from the Ummah of Muhammad, you've got to find ilm and power in one personality. You've got to find ilm and power. And when it comes to ilm, there is no one who says, Saluni, Saluni, qabla an tafqiduni. There's no one who says, ask me, before you lose me. فَإِنِّي أَعْرَفُ الطُّرُقِ السَّمَاءِ. I know the secrets of the heavens. So hear this. Ilm. There's no one except Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. You know, once the second caliph, he came to Amir al-Mu'mineen and says, Ya Ali, how is it that every time you get asked a question, you answer without looking, you answer without thinking, you answer without pondering, you answer without taking a moment? Sometimes you get a difficult question, you say, okay, let me think about it. I don't know, I'll check for you. I don't know, go ask someone else. Amir al-Mu'mineen never, ever had to pause to think, to ask, to refer. You know what he says to him? He says, oh, you know, he says to him, he raises his hands and he says, how many fingers do you see? He says, five, Ya Ali. He says, you didn't think and ponder about it. He says, there's nothing to think about. It's right in front of my eyes. He says, like my hand is in front of your eyes, this whole dunya is in front of my eyes. Ali, now you understand why. Ab aap samjhe hum kyun kehte hain Ali maulae kainat hai. भाई जैसे तुम्हारे सामने मेरी ये पांच उंगलियां हैं, सारी ये कुल कायनात फरजंदे अबू तालिब की निगाहों के सामने है. चाहे तो मगरिब में झांक के देखें, चाहे तो मशरिक में देखें. इसीलिए तो कहा जाता है इमामुल मशारिक वल मगारिब. इल्म इज नंबर वन. यू गॉट टू फाइंड वेयर इल्म इज. एंड व्हेन दाऊद वुड मेल्ट बिकॉज ही ऑफ हिज पावर ही वुड मेल्ट मेटल, अली वुड लिफ्ट द डोर ऑफ खैबर. दाऊद हैड दैट इमेंस पावर. And there was no one who was known for his power in the ummah of the Prophet except Ali ibn Abi Talib. No one conquered the gate of Khaybar. In fact, 39 days, they tried to conquer Khaybar. On the 40th day, the Prophet had enough. He says, you've run away too many times. This is a disgrace for Islam. I need someone who's rajulun karrar wa ghayre farrar. Koi aisa ho ke jo palat palat ke hamla kare. जो बढ़ बढ़ के हमला करे. कोई ऐसा हो जो अलम को थामे रखे. अब दाऊद का क्या मौजजा था? दाऊद ने लोहा मोम कर दिया. जब भी लोहे को थामते थे मोम करते थे. अली का क्या मौजजा था? भाई दाऊद ने लोहा मोम किया, मेरे मौला अली ने अलम को पत्थर में गाड़ दिया. इन नॉट इन द ग्राउंड. अली इब्न अबी तालिब ही पुट्स द अलम इन स्टोन. द हदीस सेज ही पुट्स द अलम इन स्टोन एंड विद टू फिंगर्स. द हिस्टोरियन से विद टू फिंगर्स शेख अल मुफीद Kitab al-Irshad, he lifts the door of Khaybar and he throws it. I mean, who has this power in the ummah of the Prophet? There is one strike in Dharbata Aliyin fil Khandaq. One strike, afdalu min ibadati thaqalain. One strike in the battle of Khandaq is greater than the worship of men and jinn put together. If your worship is greater than all of men and jinn, you have the right to become the Khalifa of men and jinn. Otherwise, you don't. Recite salawat. Adam had ilm. Ali had ilm. Ilm kul. Dawood had power. Ali lifted the gates of Khaybar. Musa had the asa, which with he would strike the river Nile. Ali had the Zulfiqar, with which he would strike the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Amir al-Mu'mineen, and this is why, after the death of the third caliph, they came and knocked on the door of Ali. They said, they knocked on his door, he opens the door. He says, what do you want? He says, Ya Ali, the Ummah unanimously agrees, if there's anyone capable of running and taking the affairs of the Muslims in his hands, and taking this back to where we have come back to the time of Rasulullah, it's only you, Ya Ali. For the first time, you know, in the four caliphs, according to the sequence that is put forward by Sunni brothers, first, second, third, fourth, fourth being Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, according to their school of thought, the first time the Ummah unanimously agreed on someone. This is important. First time, Imam Ali didn't agree. Many companions were with Imam Ali. Second time, the first Khalifa selects the second. So there was a nomination. Third one, there was a shura. And even in that, it was whoever Abdul Rahman ibn Auf votes for would be Caliph. But the fourth time, everyone came to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Now you understand why Rasulullah says, oh Ali, your example is like the Kaaba. The Haji goes to the Kaaba. Kaaba doesn't go to the Haji. Ya Ali. Oh Ali, you are like the Kaaba. The people better come to you. You don't go to the people. If they don't value you, if they don't cherish you, if they leave you, then let them go. But if they come to your door because you are the Kaaba, then see it as a responsibility to Allah and take it. Otherwise, Ali said, I don't want it. If you want me, you should have had me in Ghadir. From Ghadir. I don't want it. But Imam Ali says in Nahjul Balagha, no, there was a stampede. They came rushing into my house. My Aba fell off. My clothes were ripping. My turban fell off. My children, Hassan and Hussein, were almost crushed. All people were crushed. They said, Ya Ali, no, we will not go until you accept. Ali is like the Kaaba. In fact, Ali is Imamul Kaaba. Ali is the one who gave. But when Ali was born in the house of the Kaaba, by God, Ali did not get honor because he was born in the Kaaba. The Kaaba got honor because Ali was born in the Kaaba. Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, Madad. Amirul Mu'mineen is, he doesn't move. Like the Haji, Haji doesn't move. Haji moves. If you're here, you want to go for Hajj, you go to Makkah. If I'm in London, I want to go to Hajj, I go to Makkah. The Kaaba doesn't come to me. You know what Amir al-Mu'mineen says? He says, by God. Or Ibn Abbas, he picks up his slipper, which he was amending his slippers, ripped slippers. He says, Ibn Abbas, how much is this? He says, Mawla, don't be offended. But your slippers have no value. You've amended them and repaired them so many times that there's no more room for repair. He says, this slipper for me is better than all of your dunya and your khilafah. I don't want it. Only and only because I see it as a duty. Only and only because I am the haqiqi khalifa. Only and only because the responsibility upon me. I take khilafah. Otherwise, Imam Ali didn't want it. And you know what he did? He enters the mosque of the Prophet. He sees the minbar. The minbar which had been occupied for 20 plus years, 23, 24 years. Amirul Mu'mineen, the first caliph would sit on the first step, the second would sit on the second, the third one would sit on the third, out of respect for the Prophet's place. You know what Imam Amir Mu'mineen does? He comes and he steps on the first, he steps on the second, he steps on the third, and he sits on the place of Rasulullah. And he says, today, Haq has returned to where it should have been in the very first place. Today, Haq has been restored. And by sitting in the place of Rasulullah, he says, look, companions have their own places. Companions have their own stations. But there is no one like Ahlul Bayt. There is no one, not a single companion come close to Ahlul Bayt. Rasulullah, then Ahlul Bayt, and then Ashab, and then the companions. I mean, when he says, today, Haq has been restored. And then he would sit on the minbar and would say, ask me anything. I know the secrets of the Prophet. Rasulullah would sit in the night with Ali ibn Abi Talib and he would tell him his secrets. And many people, he would do najwa. He would tell him his secrets. Many people would have an issue with it. Oh, Rasulullah, why only Ali ibn Abi Talib? Rasulullah would say, only Ali can handle these secrets. Only Ali has that zarf. And this is why in his time, Amirul Mu'mineen would often cry. And he would say, if only there were those who I could hand over these secrets. But there are no recipients. There are no to take this. Before I end, I leave you with this. As I want to wind up. Whether it's Amirul Mu'mineen, whether it's Imam Hassan, whether it's Imam Hussein, the first test of the Khalifa is his knowledge. Because the Khalifa has to do tafsir of the Quran. After the Messenger of Allah, if someone has a question from the Holy Quran, what does this ayat mean? Who's going to tell him that? The Khalifa. One day, someone comes to Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen and he says, I've come from Rome. I've come from the Romans, Eastern Rome, which he was touching Syria. So he says to him, I live in your city, I have a few questions. Imam Ali says, no, you don't live in my city. And I don't know exactly who sent you. You've been sent by Muawiyah from Sham. He says, how do you know? He says, don't worry about it. He says, you're right. I'm a Christian. I had a few questions. I went to Sham because he said he was the caliph of the Muslims. So I went to ask him. He didn't have the answers. So he secretly sent me to you. And he told me not to tell anyone. And he told me to say this to you. He says, "Oh Ali, I have a few questions." And this is my last hadith before I come to Masai. He says, "I have a few questions. If you can answer these questions, I know that you are the true inheritor of the ilm of the Prophet. The waris of the ilmun nabiyyin." You know what Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen says to him? He says, Imam was standing there, and on his right was Imam Hassan as a young child, and Imam Hussein was on the left as a young child. He says, "Don't ask me. Ask one of my small children. Ask either Hassan or Hussein." He says, "No, what do you mean? These are serious questions." He says, "No, ask any one of my children. Whatever answer they give you, take it as Ali's answer." And he's confused, young children. He says, "Okay." Now he looks at Imam Hassan, because he was obviously older than Imam Hussein. But something inside him was holding him. He said, "How am I going to ask these questions from a young..." You know, if you go ask a question from a scholar or a maulana, senior maulana, and he tells you, "Look, this is my son, ask him." You'd probably change your question. You'd probably say, "Son, how old are you?" You know? So now he was looking at Imam Hassan. He says, "How can I ask him these questions?" You know what Imam Hassan says to him? He says, "Look, are you going to ask me the questions, or shall I tell you your questions? Are you going to ask me the questions, or shall I tell you your question then give you the answer?" He says, "You might as well." He says, "Your first question is, how far, or what is the distance?" Now hear this. "What is the difference?" Not difference, sorry. "What is the distance between haq and batil?" How far is haq from batil? Imam says, "This is your first question." He says, "Yes, that is my first question." He says, "What is the answer?" Imam says, "The answer is four fingers between haq and batil." And he was silent, just like you guys are right now, because he didn't get it either. You know why? Because between the eyes and the ear is four fingers. He says, "Whatever you see is haq, whatever you hear is batil. If you hear something, 'Oh, so-and-so did this,' consider it as batil. But if you see it with your eyes, consider it as haq." So the difference between haq and batil is four fingers. I think this deserves a salawat. Haq and batil. He says to him, "Okay, your second question is, how far are we from the arsh of Allah?" You know what Imam says? "One tier of the mazloom. One tear of the oppressed, one cry of the oppressed reaches the arsh of Allah." That's how close we are to the arsh of Allah. Then he says, "Okay, oh Hassan, my final question. Tell me about the strongest thing that has been created, and another thing which is stronger than that, and then another thing which is stronger than that, and another thing which is stronger than that." So he says, "Start with the strongest thing, the strongest creation." He says, "The strongest creation, the most solid creation, is a stone. The most dense and solid creation is pathar, stone." Then Imam says, "But stronger than that is the metal which can cut through it." Stone, stronger than that is the metal which can cut through it. Stronger than the metal is the fire which can melt it. Stronger than fire is the water which can extinguish it. Stronger than the water are the clouds that carry it from the left to the right. Stronger than the clouds is the angel who controls the clouds. The angels that Allah has created that control the clouds. He says, "What is stronger than that angel?" He says, "Stronger than that angel is the angel of death." He says, "What is stronger than the angel of death?" Malakul Maut. "What is stronger than Malakul Maut?" Imam says, "Stronger than Malakul Maut is Maut, which will one day kill Malakul Maut." He says, "What is stronger than Maut?" He says, "The Amr of Allah, the command of Allah." So now put all of these together. The strongest thing in the world is the Amr of Allah. Now imagine how strong Sahibul Amr must be. How strong the Ulil. Agar sabse mazboot aur qawi cheez Amr Ilahi hai, to phir jo Ulil Amr ho, uska kya maqam hoga? And Imam al-Zaman is Ulil Amr. Khalifa of the time is Ulil Amr. And this is why, and I end here with the fadail. This is why, when you read in Surah Yasin, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ. And we have put knowledge of everything, we have collected everything within Imam Mubin. Rasulullah was once sitting in a majma of his companions. One of them gets up and he says, "Ya Rasulullah, this ayat of the Holy Quran of Surah Yasin, what does it mean, Imam Mubin? That he has put everything in Imam Mubin. Ya Rasulullah, who is Imam Mubin? Is it the Torah?" The Prophet says, "No." He says, "Is it Injil, the Bible?" The Prophet says, "No." He says, "Is it the Holy Quran?" The Prophet says, "No." He says, "What is it?" The Prophet says, "Sit down. When I ask you to get up and ask me the question again." He sits down, confused. In a few moments, the door opens. Ali ibn Abi Talib enters. He says, "Now get up and ask me the same question." He says, "Ya Rasulullah, what is, who is Imam Mubin?" He says, "Hada huwa. Hada Imamul Mubin." This Ali is Imamul Mubin. All of the knowledge of the Anbiya, everything, kulla shay. Quran says kul. When the Quran says kul, it means kul. It means everything, all of knowledge is contained without my brother Ali ibn Abi Talib. There is no.
Yeah, I know.
My time is up. The Khulafa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Sayyidul Shuhada says, "I cannot, under any circumstances," Imam Hussein says, "give my hand in the hand of Yazid." Tariq al-Ya'qubi, Sunni historian, he writes that Yazid writes a letter when he comes to power. He says, "Take allegiance from Hussein and tell him to accept me as caliph, as khalifa. Tell him to accept me as divine khalifa, khalifa." Imam Hussein says, "No. I'd give my head, but I would never give my hand in his hand. He's a fasiq, he's a fajr, he's an alcoholic, sharabi, kababi. He doesn't pray, makes fun of the Holy Quran, he makes fun of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Death with dignity is better for me." He says, "I can never give my hand in the hand of the tyrant." And so Imam Hussein gave everything. He gave his blood. He gave his children. He gave his companions. He gave everything that he had. In fact, when he was leaving Medina, people used to say to him, "Oh, Imam Hussein, if you go, if you must go, then why do you take your children? Oh, Hussein, if you must go, then why do you take Zainab and Umm Kulsoom? Oh, Hussein, if you must go, then why do you take this baby Ali Asghar?" But you know what Imam Hussein says? He says, "No, I will give everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will leave nothing behind until I give everything for Imam al-Hussein, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And for this reason, Imam knew that after his martyrdom, Imam knew the women of Ahlul Bayt will be taken as captives of Bani Umayyah. They will be paraded through the streets of Sham and Kufa. But you know what? As sensitive as Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam says, "I will bear it for the sake of the deen of Allah. But I say, O Mawla Hussein, you were martyred by Asr-e Ashur. You didn't see what happened to Zainab and Umm Kulsoom. You didn't see what happened to Sakina in the Zindan of Sham. But my peace and my salams be on my Mawla Sajjad, who saw each and everything from Kufa to Sham until he buries his own sister Sakina with his own hands. Ajrukum ala Allah. Ajrukum ala Allah. Where do I begin the musibah?" Just a few words. I leave the shahadat of Bibi Sakina until tomorrow. Imam Sajjad one day was in sajda, in his house, crying. The door of his house was open. A companion walks by. He comes in. He sees his Mawla crying. His heart breaks. He says, "Mawla, this is enough. It has been years and years since Karbala. Mawla, how much long will you do the azadari of your father Hussein? Oh, Mawla, how much more tears will you shed? Mawla, this is enough." When he says that, Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, "Wa rafa'a ra'suhu." Imam raised his head from the sajda and he says, "Wayhaka." He says, "Woe unto you." He says, "How dare you say that?" He says, "By God, Yaqub only lost one son. Yaqub, out of 12, he lost one son, and he cried for years and years. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ until he lost the sight of his eyes. I saw 16 members of my family members being cut and chopped to pieces on the day of Ashura. You know, on Sham-e-Ghariban, when everyone was martyred, Imam-e-Sajjad was in his khaymah. He heard all of a sudden the sounds of crushing of wood, the breaking of bottles. He says, "Oh, Aunt Zainab, what is that crushing of wood? What is happening outside? Why is the sound of horses running?" Bibi Zainab says, "Oh, son Sajjad, this is not the crushing of the wood. This is the crushing of the ribs of my brother Hussein. This is the trampling of my brother Hussein, the chest of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein." What did Imam al-Sajjad say? He says, Asham. Do you know what the Imam says? He says, "There's some things that happened in Sham that I will never forget." Do you know what he says? "Certain of the masaib of Sham was so difficult for me," Imam Sajjad says, "that I'll never forget them." He says, "The first thing, when they entered us into the bazaar of Sham, they entered us from a place which was the busiest of all places. They said to them, 'These are the daughters of Ali and Fatima.'" He says, "Then they tied our necks with one rope. The neck of mine was tied to the same rope which was tied in the neck of my son Muhammad ibn al-Baqir. And because my son was small and young, I had to keep my back bent. Every time I would try to get up, it would stop him from breathing." Now imagine Imam al-Sajjad, for how long his back remained bent. Ajrakum alallah. They say, "Mawla, what else will you not forget?" He says, "I will never forget when we entered the streets of Damascus, when we entered the streets of Sham. Women from the rooftops began to throw hot fire coals on top of us. One of these coals landed in my turban. It was burning my head, but I could not remove it. How could I remove it? My hands were tied to my neck. My head was burning, and no one saved us." And then he says, "What else will you not forget?" He says, "I will never forget the janaza of my sister Sakina. I will never forget my sister. She always used to ask me," do you know what she used to ask? She says, "Oh, brother Sajjad, when will we be released? Do prisoners ever get released? When will we get to see our grandfather Rasulullah's grave?" He says, "What breaks my heart is that young girl who wanted to go home. Everyone went home, but that girl remained in Damascus. Until today, Sakina remains there. Until today, her rosa is there." Ajrakum ala Allah. I end with this. Ajrakum ala Allah. Azadaro, ek jumla aur maine zehmat tamam kar di, mukhtasar. Azadaro. عاشق امیر المومنین تھی. جب ایک مرتبہ سنا کہ کچھ قیدی آئے ہیں نا, تو کہا کہ مجھے کیوں بلایا جا رہا ہے؟ کہا نہیں, تو آ کے دیکھ, کوئی قیدی آئے ہیں. اب یہ کہا کہ شہانہ لباس پہن کے, اچھا لباس پہن کے آنا. بھئی اب تصور کیجئے, یزید کی بیوی کو معلوم نہیں تھا, ہند کو معلوم نہیں تھا. جب ایک مرتبہ قیدیوں کو لایا گیا تو کیا دیکھا؟ کچھ بیویاں ہیں بے مقنع و چادر ہیں, اپنے چہروں کو اپنے بالوں سے چھپا رکھا ہے. بس ایک مرتبہ قریب آ گئی, کہنے لگی کہ قریب آ کے کرسی لگائے گی, کرسی پہ بیٹھ گئی. کہنے لگی, "من ایو بلاد انتم؟ یہ تو بتاؤ کس شہر سے آئے ہو؟" بھائی آپ تصور کیجئے, کسی بیوی نے کہا, "من بلاد المدینہ." ہم مدینے کے شہر سے ہیں. بھائی جب مومنہ تھی نا, سنا تھا اس نے آل محمد کی محبت تھی اس کے دل میں. ایک مرتبہ جب مدینے کا شہر کا نام سنا نا, تو کرسی سے زمین پہ آ گئی. تو جناب زینب کبریٰ نے پوچھا, "بی بی, یہ کرسی کیوں چھوڑی ہے؟" کہا, "مدینے والوں کے احترام میں. میرا بچپنا مدینے میں گزرا ہے, میرا آقا مدینے کا رہنے والا ہے, میرا مولا مدینے کا رہنے والا ہے." کہنے لگی, "اچھا بی بی, یہ تو بتا, تو مدینے کی ہے, یہ تو بتا کس محلے کی ہے؟" اب بی بی نے کہا, "ہم محلہ بنی ہاشم سے ہیں,
ہم بنی ہاشم کے محلے سے ہیں. اب جب اتنا سننا تھا اس کا دل بیٹھنے لگا, بھائی دل پھٹنے لگا کہ یہ بنی ہاشم کے محلے کے ہیں اور یہ آج ہمارے قیدی بنے ہیں. بس اتنا سننا تھا, ایک مرتبہ برداشت نہ ہوا, کہا اچھا یہ بتا محلے میں میرا آقا اور مولا حسین رہتا ہے, کیا میرے آقا حسین کو جانتی ہے؟ بھائی اب زینب کیا جواب دے, اپنے بھائی کا نام سننا تھا آنکھوں میں آنسو آ گئے. اب زینب نے تو پہچان لیا لیکن ہند نے زینب کو نہیں پہچانا, کہا یہ تو بتا مدینے میں میری آقا زادی زینب بھی رہتی ہے؟ کیا میری آقا زادی کو جانتی ہے؟ اب زینب نے اپنا سر جھکا لیا, بھائی کہنی ذرا یہ تو بتا کہ مدینے میں میرا مولا علی اکبر بھی رہتا ہے, میرا مولا عباس بھی رہتا ہے, بتا ان کی کیا خبر ہے, وہ سب کیسے ہیں؟ بس عزادارو اتنا سننا تھا, اب زینب سے برداشت نہ ہوا, ایک مرتبہ بی بی نے بالوں کو ہٹایا, کہا اے ہند کیا اپنی آقا زادی کو نہیں پہچانتی؟ میں ہی زینب ہوں, یہ سید سجاد ہے, وہ نو کے نیزہ پہ جو سر ہے وہ تیرا آقا حسین ہے. بس ازادارو اتنا سننا تھا, اب برداشت نہ ہوا, منہ پہ تماچے مارے, اٹھ کے ایک مرتبہ دربار یزید میں آگئی, پردہ ہٹا دیا, سر سے چادر اتار دی, دربار یزید میں آگئی, کہا یزید بخت بدبخت یہ تُو نے کیا کیا ہے؟ اب جب یزید نے اپنی بیوی کو دیکھا سر پہ چادر نہیں ہے, کہا یہ کیا کر رہی ہے؟ تُو میرے گھر کی عزت ہے, تُو میرے گھر کی ناموس ہے, کہا تیری عزت مر جائے, تیری ناموس مر جائے, تجھے میرے پردے کا تو خیال ہے لیکن فاطمہ کی بیٹیاں جو کبھی مدینے میں باہر نہ آئی تھی آج شام کے بازار میں, آج دربار شرابی میں. اللہ لعنت اللہ علی القوم الظالمین وسیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون والعاقبۃ للمتقین. ماتم حسین.